you're never really sure what these dudes will say. Hosted by Zach Amico and Louis J. Gomez for Prez, cause he talks that real shit. When it comes to comedy, man, he's the Joan Jett. Zach holding it down, he's known as a sniper. Got you laughing so hard you might need a diaper. Mondays at noon and every Wednesday too. You got these two coming through to entertain you. Talking to guests and the topics are jamming. Right. And Lewis loves giving shit to his producer Shannon. Woo. The superstar worldwide, yeah, Amico slamming. And you never know what the PR rattlesnake is planning. So here we go, yeah, you know we're ready to rock. Because the Real Ass Podcast is about to drop.
Woo. It's the Real Ass Podcast. We're back, motherfuckers. What's up? It's your boy, Lewis J. Gomez. What's up, Zach?
How you doing, buddy?
International superstar, Zach Attack.
How you doing, man?
Coming at you like clap, 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 clap.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm doing.
Also in studio, Tim Dillon is here.
Thank you for having me.
Been a while.
It's been a while. I'm back.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. You've been away. I've been away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing a little L.A. A
little L.A. It's nice. Trying to get
meetings.
A few things.
Fucking, you know, industry type stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff happening. You look gayer.
Gayer.
Yeah.
The sweater.
What is it?
The sweater. And then also, it's not that your hair, here's the thing, your hair doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
You can see it on the camera, actually. It looks like you're wearing a hair clip. So you look like, look like my sister, actually. This is, if you're wondering what my sister looks like, it's Tim Dillon.
You're in a Bangles video.
I got to be honest with you. I want to look like your sister.
Yeah, I know you
I don't know anything about her life, but I want it.
Janice, baby. Janice,
I like when Gomez. You go, one of my favorite things you ever said, you go, you were talking about the dinner that she made, the Christmas dinner.
Christmas, ridiculous.
And Lewis goes, she makes spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Fucking spaghetti.
For Christmas
for
dinner.
For Christmas dinner.
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
It just in like a red sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even a meatball, right?
Dog, she made fucking spaghetti. It was crazy.
And like store-bought cheesecake.
Yeah, and I was like,
Merry Christmas.
This is Christmas time.
Yeah.
Have you given up on your fucking life, like, altogether?
Yeah.
No
meatballs?
No meatballs.
Spaghetti.
She made fucking spaghetti and iceberg lettuce salad.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Like we're dying in a hospital. That's hospital food.
Right, yeah.
Garbage people, dude. I'll tell you right now, people don't realize what I've come from.
Yeah.
You know, a phoenix from the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I fucking should be right now?
Right.
The garbage that my family is.
Right. Mm.
So, that was the worst Christmas meal I've ever had. I'll never trust my sister to do Christmas dinner again.
No, you got to take the reins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Mike Racine's also here.
How's it going?
So
congrats on being the smartest man alive now that Stephen Hawking's dead.
Fuck yeah, dude. Thank you, man. You recognize that.
Gomez.
I appreciate that, Lewis J. Gomez. But I do appreciate the fact that you recognize my brilliance. A lot of people don't. A lot of people call me dumb. But they don't understand that.
Those people just listening to the things you say.
and reading the things I write.
No, but this is true.
No, if you watch, hearing the things he said.
Right.
But they're not listening.
Yeah.
If you watch Lewis operate, you realize he's very smart. But if you just listen, you're like, But if you watch, you go, he's doing things that are very smart.
It's kind of a defense mechanism. I realize this too. And I don't like this quality. I want to almost like change this about myself.
Yeah.
I saw this in my mother. My mother used to act like a dumb.
Track marks.
Like, my mother used to act like a dumb cunt. Right.
Right.
Really used to ditz it up, right?
Yeah.
My mom was fucking really smart. My mom was like a fucking really intelligent woman.
Yeah.
She had a lot of problems, drug problems, abusive, violent, psychotic. But at the same time, I think to be that crazy, you have to be smart in a weird way. I don't think people that, they don't function that way.
No,
you know what I'm saying? So she was like really fucked up, but she was also really smart, but she would play very dumb around people. She'd like almost be like, I'm an idiot. And I watch, my sister does that. I have a friend, Katie, who does that, who's a brilliant girl, went to Haverford College. Like, this girl does, like, fucking, like, 10,000-piece puzzles on her floor by herself.
Right.
And, like, fucking, like, puts together, like, you know, crazy. She goes,
she's autistic.
Yeah, basically, she goes, like, escape rooms by herself.
Right,
and, like, figures them out. She's, like, crazy, dude. This bitch is nuts.
I love every evidence that she's smart. It's just that she should probably be in a program. So this is, like, she's brilliant. She does puzzles. She goes to escape rooms by herself. Sometimes she looks
eats pudding.
She's, like, she has three different people that live inside her that she argues with all the time.
You drop matches, she can count them.
She's a genius.
Someone asked me if I was autistic this week, and it would be annoying finding that out this late in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what is the? I'm probably on the spectrum in some way, right?
Listen, it's a big we're all on the spectrum, baby.
I don't really understand what that even means on the spectrum.
I think it's somewhere on the spectrum.
That's not a definition. What does that mean on the spectrum?
It means that there's a spectrum of autism, and on one end you have like your friend who's doing puzzles and going to escape rooms, and on you, like in the middle you have Mike, and then towards the, you know, and then you have like people that are quirky.
Got it.
Like on the other end.
Okay. Yeah. So all right, I got it. So but
you're just quiet. That's why people think you're autistic because you don't talk a lot. So that can just be weird because we're so used to being bombarded with fucking noise.
Yeah.
That when you like sometimes you don't say anything and people think that like you're not saying anything because like your brain is like there's something that's wrong.
Is quiet autistic?
I don't know.
I don't really understand.
I think people would say about me I have Asperger's because they don't shut up. Yeah. So I'll just like talk no matter what.
Okay.
That's a different thing.
It's a different type of thing. I don't know. I mean, because I know I have like ADD and I think I have borderline personality disorder. I took a test, a quiz online, and they said I definitely do. But I don't know. Those quizzes online, they don't mean shit.
Right.
You know, but I think we all have like.
What quiz is like, which Harry Potter character are you? and you're like, he's like, I got Snape. and they're like,
I'm fucking Dumbledore.
Yeah. He's like, I got borderline personality disorder. Damn it.
I don't really understand what autism is.
What Harry Potter character would Lewis be?
I think Snape, because like you think he's bad, but he's good.
Mm.
He looks like Voldemort.
He's benevolent. Yeah.
No,
it's not going to be benevolent, but I just think he's good, but you almost think he's bad, but he's good. Wait, what do you think?
No, I mean, you got to look at personality as well. Yes, okay. I think that's one.
Okay, that's one option. What do you think?
What Harry Potter personality am I really? I mean, I'm a leader. I'm an innovator. Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is like the worst college address being given. It's like City College of New York brought him in, and Lewis is like, "I'm a leader, I'm an innovator." The audience is confused. They're like, "When is this going to get to advice?"
I think I'm maybe like a young Mad-Eye Moody.
What is that?
It's a character from the third book.
He's not in the movie.
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
You got to go to the movies.
And he's in the movies too. Pull up Mad-Eye Moody. He's got a mad eye.
He's
Moody.
Oh wait a minute, maybe.
And Zach looks like a young Mad-Eye Moody.
I've never read or seen a Harry Potter.
You didn't read the Harry Potter books?
No.
Did you read the Harry Potter books?
I didn't read them.
I read the
first
four.
Because I was an adult when
they
came out.
And they got real long.
There you go. Mad-Eye Moody. See?
Oh, yeah, that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What was his role? I forget.
I don't remember. Yeah. I just remember he was a strong character. And Harry Potter's kind of a little fucking bitch. Yeah. I'm not bitch made like Harry Potter. He's very powerful.
No one said
but,
you were going to be Harry Potter. We said Snape. Nobody said you were going to be the hero. Relax. Yeah. Nobody. What about you? What are you?
Oh, I don't know. I never thought about it.
I want to be Malfoy because I would just put my finger in my own ass and lick it all day. Yeah. Because he's a
taste. You would be Dumbledore because Dumbledore is actually gay.
Yeah, we found that out later on.
So you
or I'd be Hagrid, but like exposed for pedophilia. Yeah. Like, what are you all learning at Hagrid's?
That's why he lives in the woods.
Yeah. What class is Hagrid teaching? Well, he's teaching me how to use my other wand. It's like, wait a minute. There's just cops bursting on the door. I'm like, I thought he was 16. I thought he loved me. I loved him.
Shit.
Ah.
All right, so look, here's the deal. We had a great show planned today. Let's get some plugs out of the way because we have
Hambla,
a lot to talk about.
Hagrid Boy Love Association.
There you go. Racine, what do you got to plug, my friend?
I got a new podcast called The Sit Down where we talk about organized crime and stuff like that. You can hear it on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and anywhere you hear your podcasts. It's a lot of fun.
DimdillaComedy.com for dates. I'll be in Michigan, in Austin, San Fran, Rhode Island, Chicago, Connecticut. Come on out. Say hello.
Yeah, nigga, Zachy.
Twitter and Instagram at Zach is not funny. I got some dates coming up. I got the Meadowlands Comedy Festival next month in Secaucus, New Jersey. I'm in Maine. I'm in Pleasantville. I'll keep everybody updated once I have some numbers and dates.
Fuck yeah, you will. Next weekend, Boston, myself, Dave Smith, co-headlining Nick's Comedy Stop. Friday night, Saturday night, still planning a podcast. I haven't put any thought into this yet. I think we're going to do it in the same spot we did it last time. I'm going to let
you
guys
know.
That was a lot of fun. Boston's fucking dope. We love you motherfuckers. You better be coming out, Nick's Comedy Stop. Go to nickscomedystop.com and grab tickets for myself and Dave Smith. Also, the next week I'm in L.A. I'm going to be with Big J at the Long Beach Improv. Is it Long Beach?
Is La Brea?
Yes.
La Brea, right?
La Brea Improv.
Yeah.
With Big J on Sunday night, the 25th. Yeah. And then the...
Maybe it is Long Beach, because I think there might be one... There might be a Long Beach.
Guys, look for Big J somewhere. I think he's headlining one of them. I'm opening up for him on that show. But we're at the Comedy Store on the 29th. You can still get tickets. I believe we are two-thirds of the way sold out. We haven't announced a single comic on the show.
Wow.
The main room. The podcast sold out in 2 days. The main room is... I think we have 220 tickets sold out of like 330 tickets sold. They're going to sell out, guys. Get them now. I'll tell you right now, I'll announce a couple of comics. I know Dan Soder's doing the show. Wild. I know that Doug Benson's doing the show. That's all I can announce.
Yeah.
That's all I can announce. There's going to be probably 8 or 9 comics, so it's going to be incredible, guys. So come out if you're in Los Angeles. Also, I'm going to be at the Borgata in Atlantic City mid-April doing a Sunday through Thursday. So if you guys are in Jersey, come out to that. GomezComedy.com, Gomez Comedy on Instagram. Lots of stuff happening. Obviously, Skankfest NYC returns, motherfuckers. Brooklyn Bazaar! July 14th and 15th. It's going to be this July. 2 full days, 2.5 days. Kickoff party and programming on Friday night at the Creek in the Cave. Listen to me. It's 3 times the size of the Creek in the Cave. If you went to Skankfest in the past, you know it was the greatest fucking weekend of your life. Make this your vacation. I'm telling you right now, we're going to have 100 different comedians. The people that we've already confirmed, I can't announce anybody yet. I'm telling you right now, already it's the best lineup we've ever had at Skankfest. You know what the fuck is up. SkankfestNYC.com, April 2nd, pre-sale tickets, save $20 on VIP passes. It's $100, get VIP passes the entire weekend, everything. Come fucking hang out with the skanks and the best comics in the fucking world. You will not regret it. April 2nd, pre-sale. May 5th, general sale. And that's when we're going to be announcing probably a good third of the performers on May 5th. Cinco de Mayo.
I think we should do a Skankfest bus tour.
That'd be fun.
Where I take you.
Why don't you do it?
Well, let's do it. I want you to come on. I think you should be on it too.
I think me and you
should do a fucking thing.
That's 100%. We'll get the bus to go from.
Yeah.
We'll do two. We'll do one on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Yeah. Let's try to make that happen. Legit.
I fucking swear to God, that'd be incredible.
I'm serious. That's serious.
I love it. Skank, I'm telling you, you guys have both been at Skankfest. You know what's up.
Yeah, everyone. It's a lot of fun. You should go. If you're on the fence, go.
It's fucking...
It's a lot of fun. If you like comedy and us and everything...
It's not a normal comedy festival,
no,
dude.
It's not.
You are... It is a party.
You'll get raped. Yeah. But 100%. I mean, it's going to be...
We call that an immersive experience.
Yeah.
It's a 2.5-day comedy party. It's nonstop drinking, boozing, smoking, you know, party. You know what the fuck's up, dude. So you saw the pictures last year. SkankfestNYC.com. I can't plug it enough. Go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review, all that shit, too.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you plug shit, boys.
That's how you do it. In and out.
Got to say, go to the iBang as well. I got to give a little props to the Interabang. They featured they did an interview with me probably a month and a half ago, and they put it out today. What is that?
They just closed a big deal. They just bought Rolling Stones. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Congrats to the Interabang on that acquisition.
Yeah, Tim. You know, all I get is the Interabang, and once in a while a nice
Buddy,
laugh button.
I'm trying to get the Interabang. Guy interviews me and then forgets. Gary.
Louis J. Gomez is changing the future of digital comedy.
Hell yeah.
Who is Mick Taylor? That's Lewis's pen name. Lewis is writing for the Interabang under Mick Taylor.
Some dude that came out in Philly and said, I want to interview you. And I was like, sure, dude. So that's that. Go check it out and support the Interabang. They're super fucking cool. A lot of fun stuff happening over there. I'm doing Ron and Fez next week. I'm doing Jim and Sam next week. I'm doing Kumia Show next week.
It's a good group.
So, yeah.
Good crew.
Come fucking... hang out in the life of Louis J. Gomez. So anyway, let me open up some of these notes. Shannon, what are we up against today?
So this day in history was the day that the cotton gin was patented.
Cotton gin. Is that racist at all?
Well, that put a lot of slaves out of work, right? Isn't that what it was?
So it wasn't racist. Did it put them out of work?
No, actually the cotton gin...
Did it free slaves or did they start killing them because we didn't need them anymore?
The cotton gin contributed to more slavery because now they had a means to make more cotton, so they needed more slaves. It didn't deter slavery.
Okay, so the cotton gin turned cotton from cotton into cotton to use for clothing?
It was a way to process cotton a lot faster. So now that they had the means to process more cotton, they needed
They were like, oh, we need even more slaves.
Yeah, I love cotton. If you have a choice of fabrics,
right?
Yeah. It really is nice.
It's very nice.
It's breathable.
Yeah.
You know,
what are these shirts?
This is polyester.
What is this right here, Zach?
They're probably polyester.
Can you look at what this is?
A blend.
What is it? This is a nice shirt right here. Merchpump.com, guys. That's where you get all the merch.
Don't know.
It doesn't say?
It does not say.
This is a very nice feeling shirt.
It's 100%
right here.
Cotton.
Oh, that's why.
Say?
That's why.
We don't fuck around at Merch Pump. You think we're just doing a fucking poly blend,
you gotta
bitch?
Gotta go. I thought it was a poly blend. My apologies.
Yeah. That's
it's the fucking real deal.
That's what you thought. What's going on today, right now? It's a big day, I think.
We also have a cotton gin at Gas Digital. So if you wanna do something, we do it old school. That's how we do it. We don't digitally print.
We have slaves.
Have a fucking cotton gin. Yeah, we have slaves. Of course we do. There's still a slave trade, and Gas Digital's involved.
And he
you see Luis Gomez in Liberia talking to slave traders? Luis is like, listen, we need six people, men and women.
But didn't they say, like, certain slaves had decent lives?
Well, I mean, I don't think.
My grandmother says that.
I mean, they were all probably pretty bad.
Well, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Because at the time, right?
Sure.
When was slavery abolished?
1861,
right? Yeah, but so it's like 1700s, 1800s.
So okay, so
1600. I mean, they, forever, really.
1820.
Yeah, 1820. Right. I'm with you.
You have a slave, Tim. You had a couple slaves. Now
it's just a thing. That
I know you.
Did.
Right. Everyone had slaves.
And look,
now you guys, for all intents and purposes, are good people. You wouldn't be bad people because you owned slaves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is what you did, right? You had money. You had a plantation. You had cotton in the fields. You needed to get that cotton out of the fields. You weren't doing it yourself.
Right.
Okay? But you wouldn't be bad to your slaves. I have a feeling you guys would be pretty fucking dope slave owners.
Us? Yeah. I think so, too.
I absolutely agree.
And I think most people are pretty good people. So why are we demonizing slave owners?
That's a great point. I think we would have been not like I every day. I think I would have started with like a motivational speech.
Yeah, dude.
Like I would have went out and I'm like, all right, I know it's hot.
Yeah,
I get it.
I would just do verbatim the Independence Day speech.
But you can
ironically,
make some new songs.
Yeah,
yeah.
But listen, this is your Independence Day.
Right, right.
You look at something like the meat industry, which is like totally immoral and bad, and but everybody does it. And you tell people, oh, we can't do this anymore. And you're gonna go, what?
Why is the meat industry immoral and bad?
It's just bad, like the way they process chickens and animals. And
you watch those documentaries.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with those documentaries.
Is the chicken getting processed unfairly? Oh,
well, it's pretty.
How do you expect a chicken? It's death.
All right.
Oh, it's a chicken.
Also, they don't get it, dude. I watch.
Yeah, listen, it is probably fucked.
Chickens are stupid as shit, dog. Listen to me. They have
you
want to
live in a bunch of chickens?
No, but
I watched the other day. I got on a YouTube journey and I watched a guy.
You guys are so tough.
Ant repellent.
Yeah,
we're not ant repellent, like ant killer. And what he did was he took Aunt Jemima syrup and he mixed it with boric acid.
Yeah,
and just created it and put it on like a piece of wood. And these ants just fucking came over and started eating it, and they died right there on the spot.
Yeah.
And there was just bodies upon bodies, and these ants are climbing over the bodies in order to get the boric acid. And I'm going, what a bunch of fucking stupid creatures.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the way that I feel about these chickens. I don't know how much of a jump in.
Pigs are pretty intelligent, though. And you look at footage of pigs, like, hobbling around with their limbs cut off and stuff. I mean, that's kind of.
I've never watched that because I'm not watching documentaries.
Have you ever had pork? It's amazing. Yeah. I understand what you mean. You said kill them more humanely, right?
Which is not really doable.
What are you saying?
I guess,
be a vegetarian? It's ridiculous. I mean, that's a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah, also,
what are pigs here for?
You don't live that life, Mike. You just say it. You're like everybody else, Mike.
What?
Me and you will go get a fucking burger after this. You're not going to question where it came from.
But here's the deal. What are pigs here for? I'm dead serious. What is the animal, the pig, here for, if not to be eaten? It's a legitimate meal. When you look at a pig, the first thing you think of is eating it.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, I get you go, you look tiger. Tigers are majestic. They're beautiful. It's like, oh, it's a fucking tiger. You look at a pig, you're
I kind of want to eat a tiger, too.
I do, too, but I'm making a point. You know?
I do
just for one goddamn thing. You know what I mean? You look at a pig.
You know how they taste?
You eat pork. Louis, you're Hispanic. You eat pork.
Zach made a great joke there.
Oh.
He just didn't have the confidence to jump in on it the way he should have. You know, I agree with you. Pigs are, they're there to be eaten. Cows, they're giant beasts of muscle, right? And that's, what do they do? They graze and they sit there and they eat and they're not really doing much else.
They have feelings, though.
People talk about how pigs are smart.
Who cares? People have feelings. We're enslaving people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, here's the thing. People talk about how pigs are smart all the time.
Yeah.
But what have pigs ever done that is like slightly more intelligent than any other animal that sits in a fucking pen and eats and rolls around in their own shit?
Great point.
What are they doing that separates them? I feel like the intelligence, it should be gauged based off of like what you do with it. Right, and they're they're just a pig rolling around in shit, just like there's a goat rolling around in shit.
I don't care if pigs are reading books. They are amazing.
In all
Eat
fairness,
barbecue.
That would be so cool to see.
I would love to see it. I don't care if a pig could plead to not get killed. Like if a pig was like, respectfully, I feel that I shouldn't be knifed to the throat. Because they're very good. There's something that we hate in our society now. We're pretending that power structures don't exist.
Yeah.
Or that all of them are innately immoral. Or that they're all like complete. Like the idea that one animal being stronger and having dominance over another is all of fucking nature. It's everything.
Yes.
And the reality, we're pretending that, what, we shouldn't eat these animals? How are we going to feed the entire world population? We need to do it.
And it's also my problem. I don't even really care. Like, if you want to be one of these people that do that, that's fine. But you're not.
Right.
You're not living the life. You're just kind of saying it as a talking point in life. Like, you eat the pigs.
Yeah, I try to.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't
even
ever.
I made a minestrone yesterday. I made a vegan minestrone.
Did you?
Yeah.
Had somebody ever offered you meat and you've been like, all right, I'm not going to eat this because I don't know where it came from?
No.
Never in your life. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Of course.
That's why I don't get mad. People eat dogs in China. It's like they're living fucking for less than a dollar a day. Eat a dog.
I have no problem.
What am I
going to
tell you?
Dogs, period.
It's cultural that we don't eat dogs in America. We dress them up in suits and put them in baby. That's more disgusting.
I think it's worse to actually try to save the lives of endangered species. Why are we trying to play God, dude?
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. We are on this earth to ravage and kill and to eat what we want.
Well, some of them are fun. Like, some of the endangered species I could see, like, the Bengal tiger or the white tiger. You know what I mean? Like, some of them are like, oh, you want to keep them around for Vegas and shit, you know, put them in a tank. You want a few of them for the lobby.
All you need to do is you can take a regular tiger, bleach him.
Yeah.
Done.
Great point. You know what? I got to be honest.
I saw a video, though. Someone, like, took a pig and threw it in boiling water, and the thing was, like, screaming.
Shut up.
I don't know. It's like...
Yeah, it's called getting cooked, bitch. It's called getting cooked.
Yeah,
they cooked the pig
YouTube.
Like a lobster?
Yeah. I don't know if they cooked it. I don't know where.
Let's see
this.
Shannon, pull it up.
It's on YouTube somewhere.
Pull it up. Somebody throws a pig into a boiling pot.
I mean, I know you guys are tough guys, so, you know, it's like...
What is this? See, this is the thing now.
What
he's
is he doing?
Trying
That's a weird thing.
To be morally better than us because this is what he's trying
he's
to do.
He's also like an Italian mook.
Yeah, he's trying to...
like
he's
us.
He's sitting here in a fucking
tracksuit.
He's
the tough guy who eats meat.
He does a podcast lionizing murderers all the time. fucking the mafia, but he's mad that a pig got fucking thrown in a fucking vat of
he's
water.
He's not even mad.
He's not even mad.
He's a phony.
He's trying to be better than us.
He's pretending that he cares about this stuff.
Right.
He's a piece of shit just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
The difference is we 99% of the people don't give a fuck, right?
Correct.
But everyone goes, oh my God, I watched...
I'm not saying torture the animal. I'm saying kill it humanely and responsibly.
Yeah, but I mean,
Mike, would you feel better if you knew the pig ratted on one of his friends?
Yeah.
Let's see.
This is pretty bad. They're still alive. They're, you know. This is it, yeah.
Wait a minute.
This pig speaks German?
There we go.
I say Jews.
He's a human.
All right, you got me.
Oh, my God. I gotta be honest.
So,
you don't know that that's boiling water.
It's boiling water and the thing's still alive.
Oh! Does it live?
No, Lewis.
All right, there you go. Now it's dying. Die!
It's not done yet.
Die already! Jesus Christ, die!
Gnarly, though,
listen,
right?
Listen, I gotta be honest.
Hold on,
with
pause
you.
It.
This is disturbing, but.
He called it gnarly, which is a great word for this.
It is kind of gnarly. Listen, it's disturbing.
We're seeing one like this.
Why are they killing it like that? Is it because it keep locks in the flavor? There's got to be a reason. This is the thing. Here's the deal. Nobody's just cruel for no reason.
Can they start bottling the water they boil the pigs in?
So are they being being cruel?
I'm 50 Cent for ham water.
Listen, we got this new pork juice. You like pork
ham
juice?
Ham water. Hey, I'm Louis Gomez for ham water. Hey, guys, today's Legion Skank is brought to you by ham water.
I don't know. It's disturbing, but I'm not going to stop eating fucking, you know?
And it's also, no, it's just, stop, it's, but, here's, you know what it is? Let me tell you something, dude. There's a line, right? There's a line of like, that it'll fuck up my day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we'll all watch something.
Yeah, that is nowhere near it.
Nowhere near it.
That is nowhere near it.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's just not.
It's not going to, yeah.
It's not that bad.
Absolutely.
It's fine.
Bidi, bidi, bidi. That scalds, folks.
Look, dude. I know that they're intelligent creatures. I mean, I watched that.
It sucks. That sucks.
I watched that pig make eye contact with the camera. Like, it knows that it's a camera.
Like begging to, yeah.
And that it could be helped. Like, the cameraman could help it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it was that good, it would have been a babe pig in the city. But, you know.
Right.
Listen, it sucks, man. I'm not defending how they kill all these animals. I don't know.
You know what? Hold on. I could defend that. Let me think.
They take boy chicks.
There's got to be a reason for it.
Boy chicks? Trannies?
When they process it. Yeah.
They boil trannies alive.
What plant is that?
Who can't get behind that? You know?
Yeah. But, who's doing that?
Yeah.
Dole.
The Gavin McGinnis factory?
But I mean, listen.
Jordan Peterson.
Let's all boil the trannies. But here's the deal. At the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, what is the. Go to a developing country, third world country, you know? People will hack an animal to death with a machete.
Yeah.
And then eat it, because that's the way it is.
But at least that animal gets to live a life that's, you know, not like in a cage.
Do you know?
Right, but, that's much better. Yeah.
I gotta be honest with you, I just don't know that these animals are processing cage life versus grazing in the field life. I don't know that their minds work that way.
Like, yeah, it's kind of like being retarded, like it's all you know.
And I think that pigs are less than retarded people in terms of the way they process the world, right? Mm-hmm. So if, you know, a retarded guy, you put him in a cage.
Why don't we just eat retarded people?
And boil them
alive. I've had a retarded guy help me at Home Depot. Well, I've never had a pig.
I've never had
a pig walk down the aisle at Home Depot and go, your pants are there.
Like, those pigs aren't employee of the month.
That's what I mean. Yeah. He's always employee of the month, that guy, you know?
But people talk about how intelligent these animals are. They're doing nothing.
To me, it's a fake thing. Like, this whole idea is like people get really hyper-focused on the treatment of animals but could not give a shit about the foster care system. They don't care about abuse of women and children. They don't care about abuse of women and
Nobody
children
cares
around
about
the world.
But anything.
They don't care about
they,
slavery that's still going on.
What they want to do
it's
is
a fashionable thing.
They
to want care to
pat
about.
Themselves on the back, and it feels good to, you know, to publicly to have an opinion on something.
Yeah.
I got into a thing the other day with a person on Twitter. He blocked me since, and I deleted my tweets back at him because I was like a raving lunatic.
I saw it. What happened?
Yeah. What did the guy get fucking mad at? Oh, all right. So
somehow I'm roped it. Like the third tweet down is like. Well, look, you should fuck Tim Dillon. I'm like, how did this get here?
There was that that one chick, that tall redheaded chick.
Angela Cobb. And you had a great point and a great joke. Angela Cobb had tweeted some shit about, she was giving somebody advice. And Lewis rightly pointed out.
So Angela Cobb said something along the lines of like, you know, when I was growing up, I was a tomboy and I felt blah, 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 blah. So, you know, let your tomboy colors fly, blah, 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 right?
Right.
Didn't even matter. The point was she was giving advice.
Right.
To which I tweeted to her, I was like, didn't you have a GoFundMe a year ago to pay your rent? Which is true, she did.
Yes.
I was like,
multiple GoFundMe.
My advice is to do the opposite of whatever you did, which is me busting balls. I know Angela, I'm friendly with her, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
you respect the hustle, you respect cons and fraud.
Good for her, whatever.
I'm just she found what she was good at.
But maybe if she let her tomboy colors fly, she could be working in a warehouse right now or something.
That's true.
She could have some dykey job.
Sure. She should be throwing like pigs.
Roofing.
She should be throwing pigs.
Yeah, she could be throwing pigs in boiling water.
Yeah. What if, by the way, if you looked at that, the factory is all retarded people throwing pigs in the water? You know, it's like.
But
yeah,
so retarded people are the problem.
Yeah. Tim does this thing where if you care about something, he'll bring up like 100 other issues that you apparently don't care about.
You don't care about these pigs.
You don't care about these pigs. You're fucking grandstanding.
You don't
You're
care
not
about
an
these
ethical
pigs.
Vegan, Mike.
You'll eat. We'll go to get a pork sausage right now. You'll fucking eat it. Yeah. You won't question where it came from.
Dude, what are you talking about? You do a podcast about the mafia, and the reason that you do it is because they're murderers and they're interesting, right?
Yeah, I guess. But
okay.
It's not like we glorify.
They do that to actual people.
Of course it's glorified. Every mafia movie makes them look cool, and good. They don't make them look like losers. They make them look like cool people that are walking around killing people, not taking shit. If the mafia was a bunch of losers, nobody would watch movies about them. Nobody would listen to the podcast. They seem cool.
Yeah.
Right. So let's not pretend when people have selective, when they choose to selectively go at one issue. Like when everyone is mad at Trump about certain things. Okay, sure. But you didn't care when Obama did it.
Yep.
You didn't care when fucking Hillary did it. You don't give a shit. So to me, it's like you're selective in what you care about. I then have to look at your motives. And that's my concern is what are the motives? Because if the motive is to just feel like a good person and to be like, oh, I'm better than you, that's not a good enough motive for me.
Yeah, I think his motive is that his chick thinks that he's this guy.
Right.
So he like when he's at home with her on the couch and they're watching their dumb fucking Netflix documentary and he's like, oh, this is just horrible. And she's like, isn't it, Mike? And then they have this whole thing. And then he comes out and he tries to try it on us in the real world. And he falls flat on his dumb fucking Italian face because he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And he has no moral code and doesn't believe
it. This is the weirdest podcast to go on and getting like, what do you think me and Lewis were going to do? Like start being like, you're right. Veggies.
I mean,
like,
look.
What are you talking about? He's a paleo diet guy. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I don't have a moral code. I just, I don't know. You can care. You don't have to care about every issue.
No, I don't.
So the one you pick the is chickens.
Yeah, chickens. The world's too big.
Yeah. There's bigger fish to fry. I also feel like if you're going to
apparently pigs to fry as well.
bigger pigs to fry. If you're going to care about the lives of things that are like fucked up, right? Like if you're gonna put that emotion into it, right?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about these chickens? I say, go to Africa or fucking even pretend to care about the little kids in Africa that are good dying of AIDS and being macheted to death.
Michigan with fucking no drinking water.
Yeah.
How about that?
Send them ham water.
There's got to be a hierarchy.
Ham water.
They'd love it.
There's got to be. We got to.
Ham water doesn't exist.
If we don't even.
I see it in your eyes like you want ham water so bad.
We don't feel connected to our own species, but we feel connected to others. Like to me, I'm like, I love animals. I don't want animals to ever be treated inhumanely or cruelly. But the reality is a large part of human beings who I love and am one of our diet is animals. That's what we eat forever throughout history. It's not new. And yeah, factory farming sucks, and there's a lot of things about it that suck and that are fucking inhumane. But the reality is we have to find a way on this planet to feed millions and millions and millions of people. That is not easy, and science is part of that. It's part of it. We're not fucking raising shit on a farm anymore.
And one pig. Mm. One pig.
One pig.
Can feed like
me,
Tim for a morning.
And Zach. And that's the point. I mean,
Shannon, what was the story you pulled up about the teacher? What did he do? Pull this up. Let's do Does It Live? I didn't actually put it in the notes, but you sent it to me, Shannon.
Does it live or does it die?
Did you do a Does It Live on the helicopter that went into the East River? Because I would have totally got that wrong. I thought they would have all lived and two of them.
Well, that's one
died.
Of the stories that I actually have here, but that wasn't the Does It Live today.
All right, sorry.
Science teacher fed live puppy to turtle in front of pupils in disgusting and sick demonstration.
Well, this seems a little overboard.
Let's see, go down. Let's see. A teacher has been accused of terrifying students by allegedly feeding a live puppy to the class snapping turtle. Robert Crossland, a teacher at Preston Junior High in Idaho, is under investigation for the alleged demonstration, which is reported to have taken place after school. The puppy had deformities, and it would die soon anyway, according to parents speaking on Fox 13.
Oh.
Allowing children to watch an innocent baby puppy scream because it's being fed to an animal. Oh, dude, the video? Now, that would fuck me up a little bit. That would fuck me up a little bit.
Why are they... What is this lesson?
If any of you little faggots want to bring a gun to school, I don't give a fuck.
It's like, what?
Yeah, walk out Wednesday. I dare you.
Yeah.
I dare you. I will kill a puppy in front of you.
I love that he's teaching Wednesday Adams in your estimation.
Well, it's today Wednesday.
No, today's Walkout Wednesday.
Oh, Walkout Wednesday. I gotcha.
Fucking dummy.
I'm sorry.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it seems like that seems like a lot.
Yeah, that's look.
All right, Mike, you got a point. Got a point. A little bit of a point.
Let me see. Shannon, I'm also going to forward you
now. But you know what? Can we hear this man's reasoning?
Does he have any reason? Does he say anything, Shannon?
No, he was just saying it was a deformed puppy. It was going to die anyway. And in the past, he had fed other things to the turtle, like a guinea pig and other animals. I don't know. He's just showing like the circle of life.
What class is this? What class?
Hey, what are we doing in science class? He just fed an Italian to a turtle.
He's like, this Italian's going to die anyway. He's an idiot.
Stupidity.
He's dumb.
He gives the Italian a carrot to cut up. He's like, I'll take a bath. I got no problem.
Yeah. Hey, what do you mean? Hey. This turtle's mouth is the
Oh, it's biting me. Hey. Yeah. Hey. Oh.
Hey. Who turned out the lights? Hey.
So
hey.
If I go in this turtle, I get
what is this, Christmas?
I get a free cruise, right?
Let me tell you kids about science. It's fucking bullshit, all right?
It's a bunch of fags and lab coats. Oh, let me tell you.
Oh, turtle, you looking at me? You looking at me, you fucking faggot turtle? At? I'll yeah. fucking punch you in your fucking beak.
All right. This turtle's going to eat me, whatever.
I'll eat this turtle. Dude, he fed it a guinea. It's fucking hilarious.
I think he's just such a lazy teacher. He's like, they're like, what are we learning today? It's like, how about
let me tell you kids something about race and IQ, all right?
The shape of the skull varies if you go to the...
put it on YouTube. You want to go to Africa? Let me tell you something. You want to go to Africa? Because I should know.
I just love the idea of a dude feeding different shit to a turtle, and that's class.
Where do you get feeder puppies?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a great point.
So like, did he know somebody whose dog had puppies?
He must have known someone, yeah, who
up?
Had a deformed...
I had a lot of deformed kittens in my day, and it was because my cat...
Your mother tried to smoke them? You get real high on a tabby. Siamese gets you good.
It looked like a bag of heroin.
No, my cat was a fucking whore, right?
Yeah.
So she would fuck like all the town cats. And then what happened is eventually her kittens would grow up and be the town cats. And then they would come back and fuck her. Uh-huh. So she was having like...
sex with her own kids?
Yeah, dude. Inbred kittens. And they would come out with their feet backwards. Jesus. This happened like 4 different times, dude. They'd have these little kittens and literally the feet were fucking facing backwards. And we would just watch these kittens, and she wouldn't feed them.
Yeah.
She'd just like nudge them away and let them starve to death. That's the way cats are cold motherfuckers, dude. You know, you could sit here and fucking try to defend animals. All them, dude, dogs will eat their own fucking puppies sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, that fucking deformed dog, let me tell you something, its own mother would have eaten it probably.
Yeah.
Right.
Humans are bad too, though.
Look at that. Look at that awful thing.
Wow.
That's kind of cute.
Do you think incest will ever be like a civil rights thing?
I mean, let's be honest.
Let's hope. We're not going down like the pedophilia and incest route. I don't think that
yet.
There's no justification for it. There's not even like people in like weird like those sects like Nambla and things like that.
Yeah.
Those things are going away. It's not like it's growing or you know.
Right. Yeah. Thanks to Trump.
Yeah.
He got rid of the feds.
I didn't even know Nambla was a real fucking thing until somebody made a joke about it the other day.
Here's my thing. How real is Nambla? This is my
question. It was real.
Because I know it's real.
I thought it was a joke.
We always make jokes about it. Like, are there Nambla conventions where it's like you walk
not
in
anymore,
a Marriott and they're like, like, what's a conference room 3? It's like, it's for NA Tech. And you're like, what's NA Tech? And you're like, it's an ambush. Like, is that real?
Imagine you're a caterer. Google. And you're like, hey,
what is this for? This is for Knights of Columbus, right? Sure. What are all these kids doing here? Oh, it's we adopted them.
Big aluminum trades.
Shannon, Google NAMBLA conference. Have they ever had a NAMBLA
Lucky
conference?
Charms.
Yeah.
Google NAMBLA conference.
I bet you there's a YouTube video of it. I bet you there is.
Can you imagine the speakers?
Back in the day, I think it was a lot bigger back in the day. There were like pro pedophilia fucking
speakers at the conference. I mean, you're probably right.
I mean, there's a guy who created it who's on record.
There is a NAMBLA, clearly. I just didn't know like how official it was. Here we go.
Yeah, the North American NAMBLA.
I thought it was something
that
right wingers kind of trotted out to.
Yeah, they just say that they were gay.
Around 1995, an undercover detective discovered there were 1,100 people on the organization's. Rolls. Excuse me.
So here's
1,100, that's like nothing.
They don't hold national meetings. And it's... So there was shit going on in the 80s where they had meetings?
Yeah.
God, Jesus.
Yeah, I think there was...
its founder, David Thorstad. What's that guy's deal? Click on him, Shannon. Oh, to the right, honey. What is that guy?
Hello, welcome to the meeting.
He's an American political activist.
Gay liberation.
He was also a former president of the Gay Activist Alliance. Well, that's not great. That's not great.
Describes himself as a bisexual pederast and atheist.
A pederast?
What's a pederast?
I'm assuming that's...
Well, he was also a Trotskyist, so, you know, you could say that he's a Marxist, too. So yeah.
What's a Trotskyist?
Let's taint them, too.
What's a Trotskyist?
It's a sect of, like, Marxism, communism, whatever. Oh, but, okay. I mean, so at least, you know, listen, if he's going to fuck... If gay people are going to have to be...
What is pederasty? A man who indulges in pederasty?
Yeah, pederast is like a
pederast?
A pedophile, essentially.
Let me see. Sexual...
Pederast.
Activity involving a man and a boy. Pederasty. Oh. That's a very... Very nice way to put it.
You see Lewis just getting like, an advertisement from NAMBLA. Yeah. Just go and listen.
I take it. Gas Digital.
It's 20 grand a month.
$25 CPM. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a break real quick because I want to talk about one of our incredible sponsors, NAMBLA. The North American Man Boy Love Association. Now, look, here's the thing, guys. A lot of people don't know
it's
that
not
NAMBLA,
for everybody, look, but I'll tell you this.
You know, here's the thing. You don't even have to be a pedophile to go onto NAMBLA's website and to join and to really appreciate it. Yeah. Because here's the thing. What
over 5,000 hours of on-demand content.
I've heard Lewis try to sell, like, shower vapes, so this is fine, you know? Like, this is absolutely fine.
This wouldn't be the least ethical thing we've tried to pitch on
I've
this
show. I've heard Lewis be like, you're in your shower. You got a vape.
Hey, guys, let's take a minute for our sponsor, Almost Not Steroids.
Ah, shit. All right, so what happened with Stephen Hawking? He died? That's the deal?
He died.
Okay.
He's done.
Well, this is going to sound stupid.
Why was he smart? Why was he considered smart?
No, I have no idea what... I know he was a physicist. Yeah. What was his big contribution that made people give a fuck about him?
He wrote a book called A Brief History of Time. He was like one of the prominent astrophysicists. Was he an astrophysicist? I don't know the term of what he did, but he was like a guy that helped our understanding of like the universe.
Black holes, I think he did a lot of work with.
Black holes, Yamanika? Stephen Hawking is famous for his research on black holes. He's one of the most famous cosmologists. He did makeup.
Let me show you exhibit one, Yamanika. A black hole.
Yeah, black holes, I think, were his big thing.
He's one of the most famous cosmologists and theoretical physicists alive. Yeah. Was alive. He is known, amongst other things, for the description of radiation that escapes from the region near a black hole, Hawking radiation, and the theory of the evaporation of black holes.
He wrote Stranger Things. That's why we all like him, you know? That's why we're all excited.
Yeah, and then he was he's in the wheelchair, and
He had ALS. He lived for a very long time.
Yeah, he was given 2 years to live in, I think, 63. Forever.
Yeah, when he was 21.
Really?
Cheated on his wife. He used to go to Jeffrey Epstein's island, which was an island of, like, you know, child sex slaves.
Really?
Yeah.
Pederasts.
Yeah, you go there.
He was a known pederast.
I don't know if he's a pederast, but he was probably just fucking chicks. Maybe he was. Who cares? Listen, he's fucking in a wheelchair. What damage is he doing?
I almost feel like...
You can't fuck him and claim you were
right. We talked about this with Ari on the show. Were you here at the time?
No one's Me Too and Stephen Hawking.
That's what I mean.
Like, if you know, we almost got to give it to him if you could rape if you're in that condition.
Yes, we were there.
But it's almost like the same thing. If you can convince...
Right.
A child...
Yeah.
Pull up Stephen Hawking. Pull up, like, some video of him talking. Okay? If you can convince a boy to suck your dick, and you look like this...
Right.
I mean, that boy has bigger problems.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I almost just let him go.
Right.
Let the man go.
That boy's got to take a look at himself.
Go ahead.
So I rely on technology to help me communicate and live.
That vital system that Professor Stephen Hawking relies on in a Word document now take around 10 seconds. UK startup SwiftKey, whose software runs predictive
tests so he uses that.
There were any errors, and then tries to
come here, sit on my lap.
Yeah. Would you like to see something?
Dozens of his documents, some published, others not.
The tests we ran showed that of a given body.
I love that. Like, there's so many people that are processing this news today, and we're choosing to do it by imagining him as a pedophile. That's what I love about how we're choosing to handle this.
Did he he went to a pedophile island?
I mean,
said.
He kind of did.
I think it was a fuck island.
It was a fuck island, but there was also kids there. There's where Kevin Spacey went. Jeffrey Epstein, the guy who owned the island, was convicted of sex with a 14-year-old. That's the owner of the island. You know, so he was just... Hawking was in Epstein's black book. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he ever visited the island. I think he did.
Let's see. Stephen Hawking's pictured on Jeffrey Epstein's sex slave Caribbean island. Yeah. Oh, dude. Oh, look at this picture.
Like a boss.
Shannon, look at that picture, doggy.
Look at the photo op.
A new picture of Stephen Hawking shows among the guests at a barbecue. Let's see. Hold on.
He was a fucking boss.
Among the guests at a barbecue during a conference.
Look at him. He looks happy.
Sponsored by Epstein. Look at him. Yeah, look, he looks a happy. March 2006 photograph taken before Epstein was charged in unlawful sex with a minor shows Professor Hawking on the billionaire's private Caribbean island, Little St. James, dubbed the Island of Sin. Hawking, currently the subject of Oscar-nominated film The Theory of Everything, also took the boat trip and submarine tour paid for by Epstein.
Wow.
Let's see. Epstein's island developed a reputation for depravity, and it is alleged that teenage girls were made to take part in orgies with on Little St. James. Teenage girl orgies? Wow.
I'm against that.
How do you... Me too.
I mean, hey... I don't want them doing open mics either, though.
So how old are these teenage girls?
I don't know, bro. Epstein was convicted of 14. He was the guy who owns the island. He was convicted of sex with a 14-year-old.
So that's
probably a good indication that he had no problem going as low as 14.
14 is too young.
Yeah.
14 and a half is my minimum.
Yeah.
14 and a half. He's got to have that.
That's why it's like, Lewis, I worry about you because I know you're going to be rich someday, but are you going to have like a pedophile island?
No.
You think you'll ever get that?
The way Mike's facial expression goes after he says something like that is where the autism comes in when he's like, are you going to have a pedophile
island? Mike, you stop being so judgmental. Your girlfriend's not here. You're not watching a documentary.
Yeah, I mean, he comes in here and he's just fucking throwing stones at everyone. Fucking meat eaters, pedophile. It's like, you know what, dude? People got to live. So what is your fucking issue?
I'm going to fuck kids while we boil pigs.
Yeah. All right.
That's how I'm going to get turned
That's
on.
That's how I'm going to do the other way around.
Yeah. Fuck pigs while we boil kids. Oh, boy.
Shit. I'm just going to fuck and boil Zach.
Stephen Hawking was a brilliant guy. He said to get off this planet, and he was fucking right. He said humanity's got to go. We got to find another planet to live on. That's what Elon Musk and all these guys are fucking, you know, they're throwing a lot of money in space exploration because they know eventually we're going to ruin this thing.
Well, I don't think it's going to be in our lifetime.
No, no.
And the truth is, I love my son. I do not love, like my future generations, like my son. Like maybe I'll live to be a grandpa, but that's really it.
Right.
I don't give a fuck about anything beyond that. And I'm going to bank that we're not going to destroy the world before. It's got to be a person that I meet. You know what I'm saying? Like. Do you kind of get what I'm saying?
I agree with you. Yeah,
I think two or three more generations.
It's hard for you to invest in 100 years down the line.
Can't do it.
Right.
Don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I you know the fucking I don't have a love for some fucking kids three generations from now.
Can I get a water? I love you. I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's very hard, but I think that the long term we're probably going to need to figure something out.
Of course, but this is why I almost feel like everyone freaks out about shit, and I'm going like, guys. Like, just fucking play the game. Sit at the table, okay?
Yeah.
You have cards that are going to be dealt to you. Play your fucking hand. Everything that everyone freaks out about and worries about, literally everything. Everything straight up from to fucking nuclear war to fucking gun control to fucking net neutrality. All the big topics and everything that's going on, gay rights, trans rights. Guys, fucking relax. I promise you, everyone here, everyone that's alive walking the planet right now, but everyone in the United States, okay, has an opportunity to go fucking make money, be rich, be prosperous, be truly fucking happy if you stop focusing on these things that you're not even trying to change. Well, unhappy he is. You know what I'm saying? He's coming in, he's fucking shitting on the meat industry, shitting on pedophiles.
Yeah.
Just shitting.
People that are fucking being productive, people that are doing. They're going out and doing.
Yeah.
They don't need some fucking guy sitting here like, being like, oh, it's a judge sitting in judgment of them. They're out there doing the thing. They're not sitting around yapping.
Yeah, dude, they're creating.
Yeah. They're making it happen.
You know what? Real ass dudes of the week. Pedophiles / people who boil pigs.
Let's go.
He's a real ass dude.
That could be you one day, Racine. Real ass dude of the week.
Yeah.
You just change your attitude, dog.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, Stephen Hawking is dead. He died just of old age or whatever it is.
His body's been ravaged by disease for many years.
He didn't look well.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
But he's done, and God love him.
God bless his soul. You know, and if he fucked some kids on that sex island, God bless him. I, you know, he's not,
I mean, hey. You know?
As long as they're not children.
Right.
I'm kind of okay.
I mean, listen. We make a lot of allowances for things. Michael Jackson, God only knows what happened.
Yeah.
We make a lot of allowances.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was this guy that was an important figure in American society. But let's be honest.
You know, it's such a hack thing. Like, they're like, oh, if you're going to get molested by somebody, get molested by Michael Jackson. Yeah. And be like, all it was going to a fucking amusement park. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't worth it. Why do people act like it's worth getting fucked by Michael Jackson? It wasn't like giving people millions of dollars.
But it's like, it's
also, yeah, if you're a 14-year-old who goes to an island, don't you kind of have an idea of what's going to happen?
Well, do you think that those kids were natives of the island that they turned into sex workers?
No, they definitely flew in good white kids. They're rich.
How do they find white kids?
Jeffrey Epstein's like, hey, come to my white pedophile island.
Can you imagine if you got to the island?
No, we're gonna fuck white kids.
Can you imagine if you paid thousands of dollars to get to the island and it's just stubby natives that were like, gross? They're like, that's all.
Right, well,
and then like,
I guess it's still technically a pedophile island.
Yeah, and they're like this. Like, yeah, it's got to be inclusion. We got to use the indigenous people.
You like, fucking, what?
Yeah,
like,
I hate diversity.
Just some fat little Samoans running around. You're like, I don't want to fuck them.
You're like, I ate one of them last
week. Yeah, where are these fucking hot Europeans? I'm a racist. I'm a pedophile racist.
I don't want to fuck some kid with an Easter Island head.
Yeah.
You're right.
And you're disappointed like it's a resort. You're like, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just not what I expected.
Yeah, I got to be honest. This was not in the brochure. I'm a little taken back.
I mean, it's fine. Look, they're kids.
Yeah.
They're definitely kids.
Yeah, I guess they're still kids.
I'm not supposed to be doing it,
but white ones.
You know?
Can we? You up to the
pool? Like, Bill Clinton, is everything okay? You seem down. He's like, nah.
You up to the... You go up to the hotel staff, you're like, is there any white kids around?
Like, I gotta be honest, but do we have to fuck these kids from the hut the whole week? Or can we, like, fly in a few other?
Is there, like, a time where they bring out the white kids where I gotta know about?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like a Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah.
You gotta wait the first
Is there a shore?
A Brazilian steakhouse. Yeah.
Is there an excursion where we find white kids in the woods?
Move on with that chicken wrap bacon. We're waiting for white kids.
No, you gotta tip the guy. Then he tells you where to get the white kids.
Yeah. I heard, should we go into town? Maybe we should go into town because I don't know.
You're not getting any white kids on the resort.
Yeah,
you're crazy,
it doesn't
dude.
Feel...
You got to know where to go.
Yelp review, 1 star.
Zero white kids to fuck.
These children were short and oafish.
We are going to live forever, gentlemen.
They were short and oafish. I did not enjoy them. They did not seem like they had been medically taken care of.
Even the girls had hair on their toes.
I love what we have.
Oh, boy.
I love this thing.
This is amazing.
I want to be a cop in Lewis's family.
Yeah. God,
that's fucking hysterical, dude.
It's what it is.
You know,
because I gotta imagine people are also racist.
Where are they getting white?
Right.
Where are they getting white children to fly in? That's crazy.
Poor.
So orphans. Like Russia,
orphans, poor America, poor.
No,
poor kids in America, dude. Foster care system.
Poor kids in America because too many faggots care about the meat industry.
Yeah, so notice some poor kid, dude. I did this was the Who Took Johnny thing.
How is there not a documentary on this? I know there's Who Took Johnny, but that's not.
No, it is. It goes into it. It's where do they get these kids? They get them from religious institutions. They get priests fuck kids for years.
Yeah,
they're getting them. Where are they getting them from? The fucking community.
Well, I know that priests are fucking kids because the kids come in. And let me tell you.
Yeah,
the priests. Or fucking kids because they have access to these kids because the parents trust these kids to go spend hours after school being altar boys, putting in time with the church, volunteering, whatever it is. So there's all this fucking downtime for a kid.
Think of it now without parents. You're in an orphanage. You're in a fucking religious institution. You're in like a boys' town.
I don't really know what an orphanage
is. It's when you don't have parents.
I know, but
what is a modern day orphanage like? I just imagine
Boys Town in Chicago. Boys Town's like this massive institution.
Tim knows because he tried to book a ticket there.
I tried. What are you talking about?
He stopped in there after he ate a deep dish pizza.
I've tried to do a comedy show there every week. I'm like, can I do a comedy show for the boys? They're like, what? I'm like, I think it'd make them happy.
He couldn't get it up because he had a grinder, a Chicago dog.
Ah, shit.
Yeah. But that's what happens, dude. If you don't have parents, what's sick about this is they prey on kids that are vulnerable.
Yeah.
If you don't have parents that care about you, you're in the
nobody
foster
to
care
tell,
system.
Or you're the only person you have to tell is some fucking
druggie,
other black kid who's going to beat you
they
up
give
for
you
being
drugs.
Gay.
They give you drugs. You're 14. They give you a bunch of drugs. They make you do it to kids. They compromise you. They make you fucking a criminal too.
Hold on though.
Yeah.
So, like 15-year-old girls.
Yeah. They're drugged up. They have no money.
They get American 15-year-old girls.
Yeah, bro. Home. They're like, here's money and drugs.
How much does it cost to go here?
So you don't know because you're a good
We can't.
I gotta learn about black holes.
We're not elite. We're not getting in.
Yeah.
We're not, this isn't guys we fucked. We're not at the top of the chain.
You gotta be a real deal, right?
Gotta be real deal. Legit. Gotta be serious. You gotta have enough money where they're not worried.
Where, yeah, you can buy yourself out of whatever.
You gotta buy yourself out of whatever. Great, great way to put it.
It's so funny because 20 years from now, I think that soon, that shit's all gonna be done. They're good because with the internet and with the way we share information and like all these things are gonna leak and all these.
But here's eventually there's gonna be. Here's the problem.
What?
It should already be done, but the problem is that
it's the Wild West right now. If you're a pedophile,
money,
have fun.
Money. Here's the thing, Lewis. Money will always win, and that's kind of unfortunate. But at the end of the day, if you want to do bad things and you want to conceal them, and you have a lot of money, you've got a real good chance at being able to do them. You might get caught, but you're gonna do it for a while.
Yeah,
that is just one of the flaws of the system. It's, you know, it's like. An exorbitant amount of money. You can buy off the justice system to an extent. Big banks do it all the time. They fucking they pay a fine, and the Justice Department goes, "We're going to stop investigating you."
Of course,
J.P. Morgan, they all do it. Here's $11 billion. Just stop investigating us, and they stop. So it's kind of like these guys can do similar things to that, where like there's a massive nexus underground sex trade in America, $2 billion a year industry. And if you knew who was doing it or who was involved in it, you'd be shocked.
Anthony Cumia.
You'd be right. Could you ever imagine?
Yeah.
Welcome, Mr. Cumia. Nice to see you again.
I want to talk about this really quick because today was a big day where I guess there was a lot of kids walking. There was a big walkout at school.
Yes,
today, right?
True.
They were saying as young as
preschool. My girlfriend works at a preschool.
No, not as young as preschool.
Yeah.
That's retarded. I heard as young as elementary school.
Yeah.
Live students walk out, sweep the United States.
You saw the pedophile standing outside with, no guns. They're standing outside with signs. Like, who are these old ball guys with, you know, signs?
You know, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with, you know, people protesting.
Sure.
You know, more power to you, protest. You just can't expect a fucking 4-year-old kid to understand what they're protesting and to have people protest for the sake of protesting. Without really understanding the issue, I feel like is weirdly counterproductive. I feel like you're teaching your kid something wrong. You should be teaching your kid about an issue. You should make it. And a 4-year-old is too young to really understand gun violence, or in my opinion, should be too young to be exposed to what a mass school shooting is and that children are being killed. I think that you need to protect children's innocence for a certain amount of time. 4-year-old, 5-year-old kids, there's really no reason for them to be thinking about gun violence or sex or sexual identity or fucking, you know, disease or, you know, let them fucking have fantasies about Disney castles and Mickey Mouse and let them be children for a while. And if you're a parent that's pushing this onto your kid, your own personal agenda, I feel like it's extraordinarily selfish.
Don't you feel like kids are going to find out about the shooting, though? I mean, isn't it as simple as
a 4-year-old?
Like,
no. Yeah. How would a 4-year-old find out about a shooting? How would a 4-year-old...
talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll hear about it casually, like something in the background. But to protest, to understand, to, you know, especially if you're gonna have your kid protest and you're going to sit him down and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is why you're walking out of school, which is if you're going to have your kid walk out of fucking school, they should understand it. I think that's heavy. I think it's really heavy to sit a 4-year-old down and go, let me explain to you something. 17 kids were killed because there was another kid who was...
I don't know how many 4-year-olds are walking out of school. That's the other thing.
But 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, that's even... Yeah. I don't think that they get it either. And to be honest with you, I also think that it's 90% microscenes out there, okay?
Yeah.
Just little fucking phony assholes who don't care.
It's an SJW.
But fake SJWs, not real ones. He's not an SJW. He's a fucking white nationalist asshole like us, all right?
Wait a minute.
He knows what the fuck's
going
on.
Edit!
He's a fucking alt-right guy. But he pretends for his fucking girlfriend.
Haircut.
Yeah, dude. So
I just love, like, so his grandkids be like, you know how hard your fault, you know how hard your Luis Gomez worked? He was a fucking white nationalist. That is how hard he fucking worked. You want to walk out of school to protest gun violence? Your great-grandfather was a Hispanic white nationalist. His last name was Gomez. Do you understand how hard he worked? He believed in this country.
But here's the thing, right? No, we did a walkout at
Richard Spencer's like, we're going to have a white country for whites and Louis Gomez.
Louis J. Gomez.
We did a walkout at my school.
To protest the fact that you were being given what? Substandard lunches?
I don't remember. It was some stupid shit.
I don't want to eat ketchup soup anymore. All right, we'll do a walkout.
And we all walked out, and it was just an excuse to leave. And that's why most kids are leaving.
They protested the new law that you couldn't smoke in class.
There's no, I mean, why do we act like, oh my God, we're fed up, we finally hit this tipping point, the children of the nation, the youth of the nation, you know what, put on,
Youth of the Nation by POD.
Yeah, POD is Youth of the Nation. We are.
Sick of getting shot in class. Sorry. I get it. This makes you feel good.
Yeah,
this
dude.
This is old school, 11th grade.
This is what we walked out because fucking they were going to raise the price of chocolate milk by 20 cents.
Is that true?
So it was something like that.
Okay,
something
I love that.
But here's the thing. These kids, they just kind of want an excuse to leave, right? And, you know, nobody really gives a fuck. It's not like this
they
one
They just don't
want
to do homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I believe that most of the kids just don't want to do homework. And then there's probably like 8 kids who are part of student government, some fucking nerdy fucks, who aren't leaders amongst the kids in their community. These are kids that, you know, the cool kids in class who are walking out, they throw garbage at these fucking kids.
Right.
These are fucking ugly kids with glasses and pimples and fucking nobody.
What is the original issue? We're so far away from like whatever the original
issue. POD.
I know, just making fun of kids now. I'm like, where are we going with this? He's like, they're ugly, they have glasses. I'm like,
POD should have won the Grammy in 1999. Album of the year is what I'm saying.
I agree to an extent with you. I do think, listen, they want to protest. You know, real fucked up shit's going on with it's way too easy to get a gun in this country. It's way too easy for a child to get a gun. And this is an issue, by the way.
I don't think it's that easy to get a gun. I moved
to the center on this issue because I was a guy that grew up believing that, like, hey, it's your right to have a gun. And I still do to an extent. But here's a reality. It is way too fucking easy to go out and buy a weapon if you're a 17-year-old fucking misanthrope lunatic who wants to blow up everybody. It's way too easy to get a gun. I think if you think about America like a corporation to an extent, and you go, if you're running it like a business, and this is something Lewis I think would appreciate and understand, you go,
I'm listening.
You go, okay, you can own a gun, but you can't, you like, if you're gonna own a gun, we need to know who you are, why you own it, and where it is, and we need to feel secure because at the end of the day, we can't just give everybody in this corporation guns because we're a large corporation, we don't know, and that creates an environment people don't feel safe. And yeah, if we go fire somebody or if somebody's not doing well at work, they can just reach out and they have a tool now to fucking to do a devastating amount of damage. So I think I
agree with you on that, and I do think that we need to look at the bigger issue, which is, you know, I think that people, for me, and I've always said this about myself, it shouldn't be easy to kill somebody. It should be really fucking hard.
Right.
It should be really difficult to do that. And I think when you're dealing with people that are emotional, young people are super fucking emotional. Their brains aren't wholly developed. I look at just stupid shit that I did when I was 18. I got behind the wheel of a car drunk a couple times when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? And I just wouldn't do that as an adult. And it's just a stupid fucking thing. And it's irresponsible. And well, when
you're
you have
better
a
man than me.
When you have a kid who, you know, an 18-year-old kid, and that's what it is, and they have a gun and it feels powerful and cool, you're just kind of putting them in a situation where, I don't know, but just measurably more likely to cause some sort of damage in one way or another. Whether they do it or not, it's inconsequential. I think that there's also something to, 18 is, it's 18 today is different. We make the joke all the time with talking about, like, you know, young chicks, right? Yes. Where I was like, oh, well, 16 and, you know, 1988 is different than 16 today, right?
But I believe we say every decade you shave a year off.
Yeah. But I think that there's something about that as well where, you know, 18 years old today is much different than it was 30, 40 years ago. I think that an 18-year-old today, in terms of the way they look at the world mentally, you know, it's like, I think, you know, they were adults back then. When they would go off to war and they would start a family, people would fucking own a house by the time they were 20.
Yeah.
You know, they'd, so it's a different thing. Most 18-year-old kids are still living at home. I mean, most 25-year-old kids are still living at home.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something about raising the age to substantially, not just 21, but maybe even like 24, 25 years old, where you have something to live for, you have something to, you know, some chips on the table. When when you're 18 years old, you feel like you're invincible and you don't really have anything.
There should be like background checks. There should be all that shit. And I mean real background checks. There should be a mandatory waiting period. You can't, nobody should be handing you a gun over a counter. It should be like getting a fucking mortgage, like buying a house. Obviously,
there should be a program where we give school shooters snowball mics so they can do a podcast.
Whatever it is. But like, so I respect what these kids are, because the NRA doesn't give a shit. They're going to be a school shooting every day. Every day.
Yeah.
The NRA will just come out and go, hey, arm the teachers, arm the parents, give everyone at school a gun. The NRA is an amoral organization, meaning their only goal is to get as many guns off the shelf as possible.
Yeah.
And we just got to look at, man, you listen, personal freedom.
Well, I think the reason that they have to be very black and white, because if they give an inch, that's it. And they never have. And I think if the second they do that, it's gonna just kind of open up Pandora's box for them.
And I'm not saying that there's not a lot of other social issues.
It's a business strategy.
Majority of school shooters are raised without a dad. They're single parent households. Number one, that's the majority of school shooters. Yeah. Nobody addresses that. There's a lot of failures in the local law enforcement community, failures within the school.
And also, I bet you, I guarantee, I don't know, but I guarantee you, all these mass shooters have dealt with some sort of violence in their past from their parents or from their
loved ones. There's a lot of other social issues. But
I think parents, and I always bring it back to the spanking issue because it's so important to me. I think, another 50 years from now, 100 years from now, we're going to look at the damage that causes psychologically to a 2-year-old, 3-year-old kid. A parent striking them and using violence in order to get them to do what they want to do, I think that is fucking people up a lot more than people think.
People were getting beaten horribly when my father was growing up, and they had no school shootings, and the availability of guns was the same.
The guns weren't that great, though.
The guns weren't that great, but I think you're going to find out that a lot of it has to do with you have problems with parents being parents. And I know the video games, like here's the deal. If you're a kid that's you're emotionally healthy, I'm sure you can play these games at Grand Theft Auto and shit like that. But it's got to do something to you. When I was at Michelle's house, and all week her son Leo was a great kid, but all week he's just clubbing hookers with a fucking thing, and he's just shooting random people. That's the video game.
It's not even in the video game, just in life.
Yeah, no, but like
he's playing Frogger.
At the end of the day, it's like if you're a kid that's emotionally unhealthy, you don't have parents, you can't contextualize any of that, and you just become desensitized to that level of violence.
Because
it's crazy.
I agree with that as well. Yeah. Look, dude. You know, violence, that type of violence should be somewhat shocking.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I played Grand Theft Auto. And it was a very different experience, Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto was fucking like so crazy back in the day. And to maybe the people that are younger that listen to the podcast, this isn't a big deal. But it was truly the first game like that where you were like... You know, Mario 64, you get to kind of, was very open, and you were like, wow, this is the first time I got to explore like a world that way, right? And then Grand Theft Auto came out, and you were like, there could be a dude walking there. I can go up to him with a bat and beat him to death.
Right.
For no reason.
Right.
I mean, I gave up on the missions within 4 minutes. I did not give a fuck about the missions.
Right.
It immediately became about causing violence, death.
Yeah.
Fucking the hookers. You drive the car into the grass. And the first Grand Theft Auto, you would drive the car into the grass when you had the hooker in the car, and then you would fuck her in the car, right? So I would literally just be fucking hookers, murdering people, mowing people down. I use the cheat codes in order to get the fucking, you know, as many 5-star as possible, cause as much damage as possible. And there's nothing more satisfying than putting a bullet in between the eyes of a fucking nun walking down the street. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, it is extremely satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, fucking, like, wow, this feels great. Now... Maybe there's some thought where, look, you have that release now in a weird way. That's always satisfying. Like, that's in you naturally, right? I think that the reason when you hold a projectile, a water gun, when you're four, it's so cool.
If you're a sick kid, you might be thinking, like, how cool would this be to do in real life? Like, I wonder what this would feel like in the actual world.
I don't think that, you know, I don't think I'm a sick kid, but I do.
No, not you. I'm just
But I'm saying, like, in a weird way,
Yeah, but if you're sick like that, couldn't you get that out of a lot of things that aren't video games?
Absolutely, but
on the flip side of it, what I'm saying though is it's sort of like an outlet to kind of get that out of you. I look at it as, you know, YouTube comments, anonymous YouTube comments. People are like, oh, the, you know, so shitty Reddit and YouTube comments. I'm like, I don't know, dude. They're fucking writing nigger and faggot on Reddit and YouTube. It's like, let them keep it there, dude.
Yeah.
Let them have it there. That you don't want them fucking saying it when people are walking down the street.
Right.
Give people a place.
You got to let it out somewhere.
You got to give people a place to be pieces of shit, dude.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And people are going to be pieces of shit. And if you're trying to control everyone's thoughts at all times, and you're controlling, you're going to create fucking Nazis. That is how you create Nazis.
It's no one thing. I think it's a confluence of things where it's like you have the kids that have family problems. You have all these violent things. And Zach's right. It's not videos. Like, it could be movies. It could be anything. Video games is unique in the sense that you're actually controlling, doing it. You're clubbing. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah. Now, but so I'm not saying it's all the guns, but like you can't have Dick's Sporting Goods selling 17-year-olds guns.
Yeah.
It's just you can't. And a lot of people disagree with me. All these libertarians disagree because they don't give a fuck. Like they think that, you know,
well, they mean less regulation. But here's the thing. Dick's Sporting Goods should make the initiative then, right?
If you're a libertarian. They stopped. Yeah. They stopped.
So why would a libertarian care about that,
though? Because libertarians believe that they're caving to pressure, and libertarians believe that there should be no laws regulating anything.
It's not a law. If Dick's Sporting Goods specifically made the decision themselves as a business, that would make more sense for them. And it would make them, at the end of the day, it's about them making more money. If they have a social justice initiative, they go, all right, we're going to, how much money are we making off guns off of 18 to 20-year-olds?
Right.
Versus how much money could we make off 18, 20-year-olds that are buying basketballs and skis? And
I don't mean specifically the Dick's Sporting Goods thing, but at the end of the day, I think I would disagree with libertarians where they go, we don't need any regulations on guns. And it's like, it seems crazy because then you literally have people walking around bazookas.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a good idea in this country for people to walk around bazookas? And then your only other argument is, well, yeah, if the other guy has a bazooka too, it's okay. And it's like, no, it's not. Just like, we have to be adults.
Dude, you
have to be an adult.
Give the teachers bazookas.
Yeah. You have to be a little bit of an adult. I hate to say it, but it's like, we're living in a fucked up world, and not everybody can have a bazooka.
Yeah, you need to look at, I think the biggest point of all of it.
Because if you walk libertarianism, like if you walk it out the whole way, it's like, why can't you have a rocket-propelled grenade?
Yeah.
Why not have an RPG? You can have a tank. You want to be an oligarch and have an army?
Yeah.
You can have an army. Like, that's libertarianism, and it's feudalism. It's like, oh, you're a billionaire? Get a bunch of tanks and weapons and tell the government to fight. Like, that's kind of, it's warlords.
Yeah, that's my problem with libertarianism. And I think
they have a lot of good ideas.
This
too.
Is where, you know, look, even some like Dave, like, I think this is where it falls apart. At one point, and you just said, if you walk it out, eventually you will hit that wall where you go, okay, just on every step along the way, let's look at it from a practical solution standpoint. Not like philosophically, not like in a perfect world. Let's just practically walk it out. And eventually you kind of hit a wall and you go, like, well, you're going to run into real problems here.
Right.
You're
it's the real same reason Marxism quickly. Falls apart when you go, oh, that everybody will everybody is going to be equal and nope, there's going to be no inequality. And you go, well, that's just, that doesn't make sense to me on a, like on a human level, just looking at the world and the varying abilities of people, and the like the idea that there would be no inequality is
insane. And also the motivation and ingenuity is kind of what drives the all of the most amazing things in the world. Every movie, every big
they're
business,
driven by creating
technology,
inequality.
It's,
right.
Yeah, you want to be the fucking man. It's a natural human intuition to want to be the fucking man, make money, feel great, feel like you're a fucking god amongst people, and get pussy.
But maybe that's why the future's female, you know?
Oh, Jesus.
This is what he's trying.
But it's also, no, but here's the truth, right? This is why women don't excel in these things as well, right? Because, or not if they don't excel, but typically women aren't CEOs as much, or they're not fucking, you know, leaders of Fortune 500 companies, or they're not fucking, they don't... it's like they don't have that fucking type of narcissism. Women aren't narcissistic like that. Men have a real drive to be fucking the shit.
Yeah.
To sit at the bar and to be the fucking man and to be the fucking alpha at that bar. Women don't really have that. And that right there, that just, and it's actually a sucky quality in human beings, right?
No, it is.
If you're, if you're driven to be the fucking man, and then women kind of go like, oh, well, you know, we want everything to be equal. Be like, well, no, the truth is it's a kind of a shitty quality, but it's why we will work 70
hours
a week.
And Jordan Peterson brought up an interesting point. He's like, the question is not why are there more women in these positions? It's like, why are there any men? Like, there's very few men that are CEOs.
Yeah.
That is an inhuman drive.
Yes.
To be a CEO.
It's a great point.
I spent time with a guy who was the president of NBC Universal doing a dumb sketch. Every minute of his day, is accounted for. He's got meetings from the time he wakes up till he goes to bed, and he makes $45 million a year. The drive to do that and not to go golf with your friends and not to go spend time with your kids, it's inhuman. Yeah. It's like not human. So it's like, yeah, should there be more women doing that? Yeah, okay. But the reality
is... That's such a funny part.
It's why is anyone doing it?
Why aren't there more female CEOs? Like, why is it that... why don't I know any CEOs?
Right. Why is anyone a CEO?
Why don't I know many millionaires?
Right.
Because it's fucking hard.
It's a very
unique...
And
guess what? You know what? Guess everyone... Typically, and not always, but typically, when shit gets hard, most of the women that I know fucking tap out. Not all of them. Not Shannon. Not the fucking women that I know fucking that are successful.
Yeah.
But women tap the fuck out at one point.
And here's the thing. Women can have children. They're biologically able to produce life. That's a big part of why that biological drive to have a child, men don't have.
Right.
Like, men would just fuck everything, have kids. Like, women have a drive. And I've spoken to my friends who are women that go, I want to have kids. And some men, and most men also want to procreate, but they don't have to sideline themselves for 9 months to have a child and then to nurture and care for the child for like women do. Women have the capacity to feed children, literally. Like, so there are all these biological things that prevent women from being as competitive as men are in the market, in the workplace, because they have the ability. And most women that don't have children,
they
a lot of them are
don't
unhappy.
Want it.
Yeah.
They don't want it, Mike. Now stop shaking your head, because here's the audio listeners, Mike right now, he's wearing a fucking Me Too pin. And he's fucking...
He has dreadlocks. He says he's transracial. It's very weird. I don't know what's happening.
Transracial.
He said he's transracial. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while, but I respect
always felt
him.
Like a Jamaican. Mom, Dad, I got to tell you something.
Dude. Yeah, and listen, there are things that oppress women. There are structures that oppress women. It is harder for women. All of that is true. But at the end of the day, you can't say that there aren't biological realities that have made it harder for women, too, that are just realities.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
And it goes back to what I said.
It's
before.
Almost like you want to be pretty and produce kids and be the CEO. Then what do we get to do?
What do you need us for then?
Yeah, right.
Well, that is the point, I think, for a lot of this. You read some of these extreme feminist articles, and it's like,
we're going to be obsolete. Yeah. You know? We're going to be cattle. We're going to
be literally, you know?
I want to take a second to plug the network really quick. You guys might be listening to this on iTunes, which you'll know that we have the latest 10 episodes of the Real Ass Podcast available on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere else for free in audio. What you should know is that we do the show live twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, 12 noon Eastern. You guys can watch the show live for free. Every show on the Gas Digital Network now streams for free. 16 shows on the network, including Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, Michael Bisping's Believe You Me, It's Time with Bruce Buffer, Jamie Josta Show, the Lisa Ann Experience, brand new to the network, Legion of Skanks, 16 incredible shows, Roastmasters as well. You guys can watch every show for free now, which is incredible in SD. Here's the deal. If you guys really want to support the shows and you love the content, okay, you can subscribe to Gas Digital Network. Gas Digital Network subscribers get the entire on-demand library of the Real Ass Podcast, over 250 episodes, plus every other show on the network, over 3,000 hours on demand, the best podcasts on the planet. I'm telling you right now, plus you get episodes 5 days early before they go to iTunes, ad-free episodes, message board, live chat. By the way, Shannon, let the people in the chat know, ask some questions. We're going to do some questions in a few minutes. We're taking questions from the live chat exclusively on the Real Ass Podcast, so you guys can join the chat as well, get the HD versions of the show, all that good stuff. If you use the promo code RAP, it's just $6 per month. Normally $7 a month. Use the promo code RAP. $6 per month gets you access to all these incredible shows. It's quite the deal, guys. Jesus Christ. We don't fuck around. And we give you a 14-day free trial. So if you guys felt you don't got to keep the membership, get the 14-day free trial. Download all the archives. Go buy like fucking a 3-terabyte hard drive and download everything. And you have it. You don't got to worry about it.
Yeah.
Cancel your membership. It doesn't matter. We don't give a fuck. That's how real ass I am, guys.
The realest ass.
I'm the realest ass there is. Thank you.
Can I just say something real quick?
Of course you can.
I never really found men to be funny. Like, I don't know. I just watch male comics and I get like bored.
Some women do say that sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's good. Yeah. Some girl had a shirt that said men aren't funny, and Chaplin photoshopped to say black men aren't funny.
Oh,
and he was gonna be like,
so funny.
Care to answer?
Here's the other thing. It's like, when you talk to female comics, a lot, like, when you talk to females in the audience, they are the most brutal on other female comics. I will have friends come to a show or just people I barely know, and it'll be like a couple. And the guy, I'm not even kidding, the guy will be like, yeah, everyone's kind of funny. And then his chick will be like, I didn't like the girl.
Yeah.
She wasn't good. And I'm like, whoa, it's very interesting. I have
really, that's only because
for
most
all the shit that people say men talk about female comics, this isn't my personal experience. I have heard women trash female comics much more than men have.
But maybe that's just a symptom of the patriarchy.
It's because I know. It's all symptoms.
Most people aren't, most people don't subscribe to the feminist hoorah horse shit. Like most women,
right?
You know,
right.
4 to 5 women don't really give a fuck. They're not going to.
They like getting taking a punch.
Yeah, right. you know,
they like it.
No, but they're not going to.
I actually have Tim come over and punch Deb for me.
She loves it. I punch with my tit.
Yeah.
I hit it with my tit.
Yeah.
I take my gut and I just smack
her
face.
Tim cucked me last week. Tim fucked Deb in front of me.
Yeah.
And hi, I'm Mike Racine, and this is Prepping the Bowl.
I just played with my soft penis while Tim railed my girlfriend.
And you know what? It's beautiful. If anyone had seen that, they would have said it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you ever cuck a person?
Sure. I mean, I've had sex with women. Who do you want me to cuck? I mean.
Well, I wasn't even saying necessarily a woman. Could you cuck let's say a guy wanted to watch you fuck his boyfriend. Could that turn you on? Could you get into that?
I mean, I would just be fucking the boyfriend. I don't care that the guy's there. I mean,
you don't
I
care guess, that the guy's watching?
I mean, I guess it's fine. Like, I guess that would be a kind of a turn on. I don't know. I mean, it's not. Is that? I don't think. I don't know. I've never done it, so I don't know. I don't know what that, you know.
I've been offered to cuck somebody before.
And you never have.
I've never done it, but I've been asked to
it's
fuck.
It's never a couple you want to cuck. It's always like some
gross
fat Midwestern, you know, like, hey, could you do this? And it's kind of
gross
like,
redheaded woman, even grosser dude.
Yeah.
Like just skeezy looking and feeling. It was Christine and Jay.
Yeah. That's what you should do.
Would you ever do that? If you were single, if some dude was like, yeah, fuck my chick. If it was a hot enough chick, could you get into that?
Yeah.
I guess I can get into it.
They say it's real popular. Like it's on the rise or something. I saw some article about it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, sexuality just in general, it should be. We should be open to it more and more and more.
Would you let a Make-A-Wish kid cuck you?
100%.
Yeah.
I think that we were.
What if a kid wrote to you? And let's not say kid. Let's say a 21-year-old wrote to you and said, Lewis, I'm dying of cancer.
Right.
I have 7 months to live. My dream is to suck your cock. My dream is to blow.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. Mm. But
it's a boy.
It's a boy.
It's a Twinkie boy.
It's
though.
A Twinkie boy, and he goes, my dream is to suck your dick. Now,
no, Zach, not a hostess.
Now, my parents, this Make-A-Wish has offered to take me to Disney World or on a vacation. I don't give
a shit. I don't
want
that, yeah.
I want to suck your cock in your Harlem apartment while you yell at an advertiser on the phone. What's the move, Lewis?
Couldn't do it.
Interesting.
No, I couldn't do it.
It's fair.
Yeah, I can't do it. But you know what it is? I am very, I am pretty like,
what if Kim Jong-un said, I'm going to nuke, wait, I'm going to nuke Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. For what? No one would do anything to stop that.
Yeah, I don't really give a shit about that either. Right. No, but I feel like I'm pretty like, responsive to my fans.
Yeah.
So if they hit me up, I've had this happen a few times. Like a fan hit me up. And he was like, dude, I really, you know, would love some advice. Can I call you? And can we like talk about something? And I had like a 20-minute conversation with this kid.
And that boy's name was Nicholas Cruz.
And he was a great subscriber. Let's find his name. What was it?
He was a subscriber. Premium
Dylan
content.
Roof. Anyway, Mr. Roof wanted to go to church, and I told him, go to church. He said he wanted to go to church and show people what he feels.
I try to make myself somewhat
accessible
to the fans. Right. And it's hard. It gets harder because as you get, you know, I don't want to sound like a fucking asshole, but more famous or more popular, you know, it's literally difficult. I have like in my Instagram, I have
like
probably 200 messages that I haven't gone back to because I used to get back to everybody. Mm-hmm. And one day I'm just going to fucking go through them all and get back. In fact, I'm going to do that tonight.
Do it tonight.
I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to get back to everybody.
There's like 30 messages from Nicholas Cruz going, please message me back. I think I'm going to do something bad. Please message me
stop
back.
The
live stream on Roastmaster stopped working. I don't know what to do. I'm getting so angry. I feel like I can't control what
I feel
I'm
like
do.
The main events have kind of gone downhill
yeah,
in the
please.
Past couple.
I just, God respond to me.
My tea's gotten cold. I'm wondering why I get out of bed at all. Morning rain clouds at my window.
Lewis, you're the only person whose opinion I care about.
I
should I shoot up to school?
Shannon, let's get some questions.
Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer.
This does feel like a crime.
Give me a fucking answer.
This is a great group of people.
Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
The big podcasting families. Shannon, how can they join the conversation?
You can go to gomezcomedy.com to the contact section and put Real Ass Questions in the subject line. Or you can reach out to Lewis on Twitter at Lewis J. Gomez or Instagram Gomez Comedy.
All right, all right. Shannon, anything in the chat that's good?
Yes, I have a few. So Buddy C. Buddy wants to know whatever happened with Jimmy Martinez not showing up to LOS.
I don't know. He hasn't tweeted since, and he hasn't answered his phone since. He's literally missing.
Oh, he is?
I swear to God. Let me check right now.
Oh, shit.
Jimmy's conduct.
Wild card, that guy.
I checked a few days ago, and he hadn't tweeted, and then I tried to call him, and it went straight to voicemail again.
Does Jimmy have family or anything?
Yeah, dude, he hasn't tweeted
since his son, right?
February 21st. Yeah, he does.
Okay.
He hasn't tweeted since February 21st. That's weird, dude. I mean, that's very strange. And Jimmy's like... Say what you want about him. Jimmy is super fucking career driven. He wouldn't just not show up for Legion of Skanks. I'm actually legitimately worried. So if anybody knows or sees a fucking Jimmy, you know, tell him to hit me up, dude. I'm gonna call him again after this. Yeah, Jimmy's a psycho, but he's a fucking good dude ultimately. Like I've known that guy a really long time, so
never met him.
He's fucking crazy.
But probably too late now.
Yeah, he's probably dead. Yeah. That'd be sad. I hope he's not dead. He's also like such a psycho that there's a chance he's dead. Like one time I just saw him in Harlem, like hanging out with a guy. The guy had an axe. He was hanging out with a guy with an axe.
Yeah. I love how earlier you had described him as career driven. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
Do you realize that? And now follow that up with an axe story?
He is. That guy was his manager.
Yeah.
I wish my manager had that type of fucking drive.
Fair point.
Anything else from the chat, Shannon?
Yeah, Bullhead 27. How much money to slaughter hundreds of pigs a day, 9 to 5, 5 days a week?
Slaughter hundreds of pigs that way or a somewhat humane way?
What is that guy talking? What is the question?
He said, how much money would it cost you, like, what type of, to take that job? To give up on my career?
Dude, no one's doing that job. What like kind of dumb question? No one's doing
that Michael job. Well, Michael Bisping used to work in a slaughterhouse.
You know, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, we like what we do. That's the point of why we do it.
Yeah, no, well, obviously, there's no amount of money that I would take to go do that. So, I mean, I guess there is, right?
$65,000. $65,000 a year.
But that's any question is that. Yeah. That's any question.
I have one more if you want it.
Okay, give me one more.
Real Ass Batman, if you could live in any other American city that isn't L.A. or New York City and still have a successful comedy career, what city would
you choose?
I've heard this question a lot, though.
Great question. I'm
I already know the answer. Okay. U.S. city?
Yeah.
What is yours, Timmy?
Well, I want to hear yours.
I think Seattle.
Interesting.
Seattle is... yeah, I mean, I would consider Miami as well. I don't like Miami, right? I don't like the people from Miami. Miami is the closest to, like, Caribbean weather, and I can get into going to the beach every day. I know when it's hot out, I get in great shape. I get very motivated about that. So I would probably end up doing...
I go San Diego.
I was gonna say San Diego as well.
It's
right outside of LA.
It's great.
Everyone's hot.
Everyone's
dumb.
Even
the old
people. Nobody wants to argue. You know,
yeah, dude.
Old people are hot. Guacamole on the corners.
Incredible.
Seals.
Best Mexican food.
Best Mexican.
Where would you live?
Maybe Chicago or like Portland, Oregon. I like their food culture. Both those places.
Yeah. Okay. I never been to Portland. I gave up a gig. Did you take my gig in Portland that I gave up?
Or
you did it right after me.
Lonnie's Run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you take it from me, or did you do it right after?
I think you gave it to Dave, and then Dave had to give it up because it was this crazy, like...
All I know about Portland, and I'm sure this is an oversimplification, is like, I knew somebody was on stage, and they did a joke about jerking off, and somebody in the crowd was like, ah, that's a gendered activity. And he's like, I've never jerked off with a pussy, and then, like, he got banned from the second show.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it's kind of...
Good. You know what? Good.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts out. Yeah.
Seattle's dope, dude. Seattle's got incredible seafood. Incredible seafood.
I mean, New York does too.
Yes, yes. Yeah. No, but I, you know.
You're saying if not New York and L.A., I got you.
Yeah, not New York and L.A.
What about New Orleans?
New Orleans, cool, but I didn't really dig New Orleans when I went. I also went to a shitty area.
You went to a shitty area.
But they got great seafood. Legal weed, it's huge. Yeah. I hate to be such a pothead, but I do smoke a lot of weed, so having legal recreational weed is fucking huge.
Yeah.
And then also,
you're gonna miss the beach though. You're gonna want San Diego. It's the beach, the sun. You're gonna want that.
Yeah.
Seattle, it rains half the year.
Yeah.
Everything's
like
white
rain,
and suicidal.
I like rain, dude.
You like it because you don't have it every day.
Yeah.
You need the sun. San Diego. We're all going to San Diego.
All right. Let me get some questions from Instagram, guys. Gomez commenting.
How about Omaha? Because there's no.
Oh.
There he finally comes out. Alt-right.
Here he comes.
Alt-right, Racine.
I'm a little bit of everything. You know?
I know you are, baby. This is a question from Covino.bjj. He says, I know Big J and Robert Kelly, but were there any other comics that were really helpful when you first started? I'm not a comic, but I'm friends with a few, so this stuff is really interesting to me.
Cosby helped Lewis a lot.
Just in terms of...
dating. Vince Champ was a big influence on.
Was there? Who, what about you guys? Because I have a couple other guys who've helped me along the way. But who's a guy that maybe people don't know, but that's you would consider helped you in comedy?
Soder and Chris Gethard helped me. Soder helped me. Mike Lawrence helped me. Dan St. Germain. I would say those four.
Yeah. In what way?
They asked me to open for them. I was never like a regular opener for anybody, but I opened for Lawrence once, St. Germain, I think, twice, Soder, like, a few times.
That's it? They fucking asked you to open for them? That's help?
Well, no, but Soder helped me get a manager. Gethard helped me get a manager. And Soder, my manager was like, should I sign him? And Gethard was like, yeah. And then Soder called my manager because they have the same manager. And Soder was like, you got to sign him. He's really good.
Great.
And Luis Gomez told me to start a podcast 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful because I think it's a cool thing. So yeah. I would
you're
say
killing
Lewis.
It. You're fucking killing it.
I would say Lewis is in there.
Well, I appreciate that too.
That's true. I mean, in 2 to 3 years, I hope to not know anyone in the room.
Of course.
But the reality is, I will always say I like Luis Gomez.
Yeah, Luis J. Gomez. But it's
Luis
fine.
J. Gomez.
What about you, Racine? Who's helped you that maybe people don't know, and what do they do?
Jen Kirkman took me on the road. She was like, "Get up there and be racist." Yeah. You know, open them up for me. Colin Jost was really great.
Yeah.
Past couple years.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Colin's cool. Zachy?
Fucking you.
That's
I
it.
Don't know.
Nobody helps Zachy except
me. Yeah, you and Mike Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah. Lawrence is the fucking man, too. Yeah. I've had a bunch of people. Obviously, Big J and Bobby Kelly. Bobby the most out of anybody. Robert Kelly got me my first real manager, convinced me to stay in New York, kind of gave me my confidence. You know, with my comedy, confidence in podcasting, you know, I owe a lot.
Yeah, Bobby, I would say for me too. I would say that having me on a show a lot and invited me to his house to like, you know, just have like, we had Easter last year when it was just me, him, Norton, and whatever. It was just like nice to invite me to his house. Like that, Bobby goes out of his way for comics in a way that like most people don't.
Yes.
And he doesn't have to. And that's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
That's
man.
A guy who I will, you know, all bullshit aside, I fucking take a bullet for that guy.
Yeah, he's great. He's legit great.
We'll have, you know, arguments and stupid shit, but that's a guy who's helped me out more than anybody else in the world. Obviously, Big J. But then there's, like, stupid shit. Like, my first credit I ever had, which wasn't even a real credit, was Comedy Central Mobile. They had a mobile platform.
Yeah.
I got a lot. It was like they were doing, a Latino thing.
It only worked on Boost phones.
DeRosa recommended me for that.
Right.
He literally put in a call and I just got booked off of DeRosa's recommendation, which was fucking super cool because I was really young in comedy.
Yeah, it was an interesting new thing where Lewis just sent a text that, do you need Coke? And then would go to the Comedy Central execs and give them Coke. So
yeah.
It was like funny. It just didn't go anywhere, but it was like you were a Coke dealer, but that's, you know, it's Comedy Central Mobile where you just bring the you know, you bring weed to the executives.
But then there's like I think Attell's a guy who
huge, yeah.
You know, little things. You know, he you know bringing me on the road a couple times. You know, putting me on his you know bigger shows in the city. You know, even at like the Comedy Cellar, kind of like pushing me to kind of you know be in there. Didn't fucking help me that much because they don't really book me that much. But the reality is, more than anything else, having somebody like Attell. I wrote a project with Attell. He came to me and asked me to write something with him, just that alone, you know, it instills a certain level of confidence in
yeah.
you. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, when you have somebody like
Lou's
that...
like, who, when's Attell going to find that I don't know how to read?
But it really does. It like, it makes you go like, oh shit, wait a minute, maybe I'm doing this, you know, right. You know, when you, you know, you kind of need those things.
Yeah,
you know?
Validation from other comics is way yeah. bigger.
And Attell's the fuck, in my opinion, one of the best comics in the world, debatably the best.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
yeah.
to be able to kind of work with him on that level and you know, to kind of, you know, he showed a certain level of respect and appreciation for what I do. I think that was a really big help, like psychologically, you know, and it really kind of helped me kind of come into my own. So that's a big one. Let me get one more question. What else? I know we got more in here. No, that one stinks. All right, this is an interesting question because I've gotten this one a few times. This is from Shano Muzz. Sup, Lewis. Mad love for the podcast. I recently saw the new episode of Crashing, and it centered around Roast Battle. What's your feelings on them basing it on the West Coast battles rather than Roastmasters, which is actually set in New York City, where the show was meant to be? Yeah, guys, the Roastmasters is based off of the Roast Battle show in L.A. It's not my idea. Yeah. It's not my show.
It's
Brian Moses and Jeff Ross. It's actually Brian Moses' show, and Jeff Ross executive produces the TV show. He loved it. But Jeff Ross saw the show and was like, I fucking love this. This is incredible. The whole story with that show was, you know, it kind of just happened. Like, two comics were having a beef, and then they were like, we're going to do this. We're going to write jokes on each other and roast battle each other. And everyone showed up, and it kind of was born from that. And it was Brian Moses and Rel Battle was the other guy who was producing it. And then it became this weekly thing that got really popular. And Jeff Ross started coming out every week, and he fucking loved it. And then, you know, it grew from there. When we started it at The Stand, myself, Mike Lawrence, and The Stand, it says right on the poster to this day, Jeff Ross and Brian Moses present Roastmasters. It's their concept. You know what I'm saying? You know, we basically leased the concept from them, for a lack of a better term. And I wouldn't do it if they weren't involved.
You're the East Coast fucking wing. You're the East Coast arm. Yeah.
If they didn't give me their blessing
and Ross comes to all the things he judges.
Not even their blessing. They want me to do it. They specifically said, you know, we want you to be, you know, at the helm of this, and we love the way that you do this. If they didn't want to be involved like that, I wouldn't do it, because I'm not a fucking hack. I'm not uncreative.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to go just take somebody's idea and fucking make it my own. That's crazy. So, for that, they obviously, if they're filming a fucking TV show, they should reap the bet. It's their show. Dude, that's craziness. So people just, I think they don't know the story, and
they don't understand
what it is. But that's kind of what.
It's like a lot of people don't know that Ari started Skankfest. I think you did it. But it's like, was Ari's idea, and you were involved and leased the concept from Ari. And that's very important. And that's why. And I know that you are not a hack. You're not a guy.
I would never
who's
do
like,
that.
I'm going to put together a fest. Like, yeah. You're like, if I didn't have Ari's blessing, if Ari wasn't kind of pulling your strings behind the scenes, I wouldn't even do it.
Of course. So, 100%.
I just always try to angle it, get back on Skeptic Tank.
Fucking Ari. What a piece of shit. Great show today, boys and girls.
I enjoyed it.
Follow everyone on Twitter at Zach is not funny. Put it down a little, Shannon. Thanks. At Tim J. Dillon, at Mike Racine, at I am Shannon Lee. Shannon, I included you in the tweet.
Did you? I missed it.
Today, saying follow the show, or, you know, the show's going live. That's how important you are to me on this show.
Thanks.
You're not just a pair of boobs.
Thank you.
I know I make you feel that way sometimes, but you're great. Guys, we'll be back next Monday. Real Ass Podcast. Special start time, 11:30 a.m. next Monday. Shut up, Shannon. Deal with it. Peace.
That's all, folks.